Fine. So before we start with the halachas of mlabin, of mechabes, washing, cleaning clothing on Shabbos, there was this little gemara over here about hanging up wet clothing. We were discussing it when we were learning, so I just wanted to share with you. So the gemara over here says that if your clothing got wet on your way home from shul on Shabbos, you get caught in a flash rainstorm and your clothing got sopping. So what can you do with that clothing when you get home? So typically what you would want to do with it is hang it up to dry, preferably in your shower or bathtub. You don't want it to drip all over the place, right? That's typically what you would do. But over here, the Gemara says, Lamaskana, which is the way we paskin lahalacha, is that kal davar sha'asar m'nei maras ayin is afilu b'chadri chadar masar. Anything that's asar outs maras ayin is asar to do even in the privacy of your home. So, being that if you would hang up something to dry in a way that it typically hung up to dry, people might be chayshed you that you washed it. People might be chayshed that you washed it, so you can't do it, and you can't even do it if you're doing it in your bathroom, which you're locking the door. It doesn't make a difference. It would still be awesome. Now we were discussing it, and I found afterwards that there's two qualifications to this. So there's two possible attain. Certainly if you don't hang it up in a place that normally it's hung up, for example, you just hang it up in a closet, which is a normal place to hang up your jacket, that's for sure mutter. It only is a problem when you hang it up in a way that indicates you're trying to dry something, right, which would be like in your bathtub. But hanging it up in your closet, that would be fine. That's for sure. But another qualification over here is, and this is, Matt pointed this out, I found today that it's Moshe, and Igris Moshe, and one of the Nuruch Halakim speaks this out, that it's only a problem if you hang up something which is normally cleaned. Like, for example, you're saying like a raincoat. You don't ever throw a raincoat into a washing machine. So a raincoat that's sopping wet and you want to hang it up, that you can hang up because no one's going to be chashuv that you washed it because it's not something you wash. Certainly plastic raincoat you can hang up, right? That's for sure. Not over washing on that. So that's for sure, mutter. Otherwise, I don't know, like a suit, I guess you always dry clean it, so you wouldn't clean it. I don't know if that is it's hard to know, because even dry cleaning probably needs drying, right? Dry cleaning, but there is chemicals, right? Well, but they use chemicals, so it just gets wet, no? It just doesn't get wet from water. Doesn't get wet at all? Is that the way it's done? I have to ask those Chinese guys. Never even gets wet. Interesting. I mean, it's wool, right? Technically, wool could be washed with woolite, you know, something that won't ruin it. So I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question. Maybe a suit. No one will ever be chayshed you that you washed. You know, because then they look like. But sure, yeah, shirt. Like I say, that's Shiva Bach from all over the world hang up their shirts in their showers. So that's certainly you wouldn't be able to hang up. Yeah, so it's just interesting to know. Like, you can't hang up now. Your sack's not everything. You know, that you can throw it into the laundry, or you can hang it up in your closet. That you could do, but you can't hang it up by the bathroom. Okay, now we start with this gemara over here. And afkuf mem zayin amid aleph hamenar talisa b'shabes chayv chatos. So there's going to be three gemaras that we're going to go through, and I'm going to point out the difficulties. So we have stuff to think about. And then hopefully next week we are going to try to dissect them, and you know there are a number of differences lahalacha that come out once you try to resolve all these problems in these gemaras. So the gemara here in Kufim Zayin starts off: Hamenar talisa b'shabes chayv chatos. If you shake out your talis on Shabbos, you're chayv chatos. The gemara doesn't say why you're shaking out your talis. The gemara doesn't say what got onto your talis. And it's a machlokes v'shanim. Rashi says you're shaking out your talis because it got dirt on it or dust. And Taisa says, no, that's incorrect. You're shaking out your towels because it got wet. It got dew, towel on it. That's why you're shaking it out. Now, we'll see in a minute how that works out. So now, you're shaking out your talus, your chayv chatos. Why are you chayv chatos? Because you're cleaning your talus, you're over the melacha of malabin. What's interesting in Rashi holds that you could be over this melacha of malabin when you're shaking it out from dirt, even though you're not employing any water. Whereas typically you would think, and which is what Tosis holds, that Malabin has to involve water. Cleaning, the Malacha of cleaning needs water. No water, no Malabin. Rashi says no. Rashi says you could shake it out from dust, you're cleaning it from dust, you're getting the dust out, that also could be Malabin. Yechayev Achatas, it's a Malacha Dairaisa. Dusting off something could be a Malacha Dairaisa, even though there's no water. That's the disagreement here between Rashi and Tosis. Now the Gemara goes on to make three qualifications in order to be able to be over this issur. It says, first of all, it has to be new in order to be a problem. Secondly, it has to be black, not any other color. And thirdly, you have to care. Meaning to say, you would not wear this without cleaning it first. But if you're the type of guy that would wear it without cleaning it first, even though in this situation you did decide to clean it first, but typically you would be fine wearing it. If you would be in a rush, you would just put it on and go. Then you can clean it. So as long as any one of these three qualifications are not met, it's mutter to clean it. If it's not black, if it's not new, or if you don't care. Right? Now these are very interesting qualifications. Let's take them one by one. New, let's do the first two. New and black, right? What's the difference if it's new or black? So Rashi says a very funny thing. Rashi says, if it's black, Rashi says, Sheha'avig mekalkol marisa v'kapitala, and you care. One second, that was number three. Right? The Gemara said black, new, and caring. Rashi says, if it's black, you care. So is it two things? Is it three things? Is it one thing? Is it all just a way of figuring out if you care? Why don't we just ask the guy, do you care? Let's see, what is it? Does it bother him or not? You know, what's the... Is it actually going to be subjective? You know, it'll be different by every person? It's not clear in the Gemara, and it'll make a very big difference to halacha, right? What are we going to write in Shulchan Aruch? How are we going to write in Shulchan Aruch that if you have any type of beged that got any type of dust on it, if you don't care, you can shake it out, no problem. If you do care, then it's going to be aser. Is that what we should write? Yeah, I can find that in Shulchan Aruch. Or should we write the way it says in the Gemara? If it's black, if it's new, and you care, it's aser, otherwise it's mutter. That which is what it actually says in Shulchan Aruch.
You don't care.
You would wear it. That's what it means. You don't care means you're able to wear it this way too. You're a little bit doing some kavod Shabbos. Not going to walk in with this big dust to stain on it. But you know, if you'd be in a rush, you would wear it. No, that's what it means. It's not unwearable to you. Everybody knows for themselves. You know, there are certain stains your wife doesn't let you out of the house with, and other ones you can slip off. So anyway, that's what this seems to mean. So we have to figure this out. We have to figure out what's the Gemara trying to say over here with this black and the thing. Is the Gemara just trying to give you a way to determine when is someone makbid, or is this a standalone qualification? So this is number one. Then the Gemara goes into story over here, where Ula saw Rabbanim shaking out their clothing on Shabbos, and he said, look at them, these people in Pumbedisa, they're machal al Shabbos. And Yehuda says, ignore them, keep on shaking, because we don't care. We're not makbid. So the Bir Alacha on Simon Shin Beis asks, why did Ula jump to the conclusion that they're Mechal Shabbos? Why didn't he assume that they're not Makbid? Why did he right away wasn't even Dandam Lekav Schus, and he said, oh look, well, tell me to come here on Mechal Shabbos. Why would he say that? Okay.
That you could say, like, oh, people from here are not
Makbid. That's technically true. Anan, right. Right. It would sound like in everybody you mean here. That's what you're trying to say.
It's something that, like, people don't do.
Okay. So he wasn't aware of that, you're saying?
If we're saying that each individual going by their faith, that seems like a very subjective thing. Wouldn't be able to qualify that. You couldn't say, like,
okay.
Oh, as long as you're not.
So therefore, what are you answering the question, or are you making it worse? Which one are you trying to do?
I don't know.
Technically, you could be making it worse. So you're saying it's subjective, then certainly he should have been...
Ula is completely right.
No, Ula's completely wrong. He should have... he should have said, well, second, I don't know. Let's interrogate everybody, find out what they're...
Ula was saying that anonymity sounds like the opposite.
That it could be...
Right.
There could be a rule.
Ula should have known.
Okay, so... Basically, this is what brings the question to a head over here. Ula went and jumped to a conclusion and said everybody was Mechal Shabbos, it seems like this is not something which is just, it can be flipped from person to person. And like you are basically saying, is that Rabbi Yehuda said, okay, this whole area, things work differently. So the Bir Halacha, what he says is that apparently what's going on in this Gemara is that there is a stumma. There is some sort of a stumma that everybody has to assume he belongs to that category, unless you know specifically you're different, which means you actually do it. Like, you walk out with that stain on your baguette, so you know that you're different. But other than that, if you don't know that you're different, or you won't actually, in practice, do differently, then the assumption is if it's black, and if it's new, you're makbid. So Ula was was justified when he went to Pumbedisa and he said, oh, all these people are being Mechal Shabbos. He didn't have to ask, are you Makbid or are you not Makbid? Because the assumption is, if it's black and it's new, unless you have evidence to the other way, you assume that you're Makbid. That's what he proves from this Gemara. And in other words, it makes a difference to Halacha also. Because again, you can only assume you're not Makbid. You can only rely on the fact that you're not a Makbid if you know that you're not a Makbid. You know specifically you would do that. You would actually wear it without and not care that it's dirty. Otherwise, you have to assume you're Makbid and it's awesome. That's how he takes care of this problem. And that's the way he learns the whole Gemara. So the Gemara is, the way he learns, the Gemara is coming to tell you, how do we figure out when a person is Makbid? When can we assume a person is Makbid? And in these two cases, you assume the person is Makbid. It's possible for you not to be, but that's unusual, and you have to be that you know that you're not, but otherwise we'll assume you are, and that's why Ula made this assumption that the person, and that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch, that a beged, which is black and which is new, is Aser, and if it's not, then it's Mutter, because we'll assume you're not Makbid. Now, someone was asking me, what would happen if it's the other way around? What happens if it's white and it's old, but you are Makbid? You are Makbid. But it's the other way around, right? It's white and it's old, but you taka are Makbid. You do care. Is it Asur then? Or is it not Asur then? So this is a good question. And to answer this question, we're going to see, don't forget that this week, but that'll depend on what exactly why does Kapit make a difference? Kapit. What's the difference if you're Makbid or not? What's the difference if you care or not? If you throw something into the laundry, you're either Liban, you're either the Malacha of washing on Shabbos. If you write on Shabbos, you're it's okay. Why should it make a difference if you're Makbid or not? Why should that make a difference? So, this is a Machlokes Rishayim. There's two Shittas in the Rishayim. The Ritva over here says that the difference is that if it's something that you're not Makbid on, so that's indicative that it's not so dirty. It's not so dirty. And if it's not so dirty, then you're not a Liban on that. If it's white, it doesn't get that dirty. If it's old, so it's dirty anyway, so the dirt doesn't really change it that much. If you're not Makbid, that's indicative that it's not so dirty, so then you're not ever Malab. So the way the Ritva learns, these three things are three ways to determine whether the thing really got dirty or not. Right? It didn't really get dirty, you're not ever Malab. That's the way the Ritva learns.
Does that be true by washing machine also?
Technically. I mean,
you could sort
your right. I mean, you're not right. Essentially, I mean, you're not allowed to wash even clean clothing on Shabbos. But this certainly you can shake it out. At least that much you can for sure do. Without using water, you certainly be able to do. Right. Right. Or like Tysus, just shaking out from water that's on it. You're not adding extra water, right? But that certainly you'd be able to do. Now the Rashba, which is a Magen Mishnah, also he says something different. He says that kapid means if you're kapid, then it's a psik ratio, you're going to clean it. And if you're like kapit, if you don't care, then it's not a psik ratio that you're going to clean it. Which means as follows. If you care, let's say like birashi, it's dusty, right? If you care, you're going to shake it until all the dust gets off. If you don't care that much, so you'll give it a few shakes, you know, to be yaitza, and then you'll go on your way. So it might be effective enough to clean it, and it might not, so it's not a psik ratio. Okay, so the way he's learning kapit and like kapit is determining what you're doing. It's just a way of describing how you're going to shake it. If you're a person who's makbid, you're going to do a full blown shake until it gets clean. That's usur, because that's a psik ratio that it's going to get clean. If you're not a kapit, so then you're not going to do such a strong job, and won't be a psik ratio. So then it comes out like this. So it comes out now. Back to the question: if it's not black, it's old, it's white. But you are kapit, right? So it would seem to be that it depends on these two pshatim. Lefi the Ritva, said all these things are qualifications in is it dirty or is it not dirty. So if it's old and it's white, it's just not considered dirty. Even if you're makbid, it's just not considered dirty. So then, possibly, you wouldn't be over malabin even if you were to clean it in that case. Whereas lefi the Rashba, that these things are a qualification, how hard you're going to shake it or how much you're going to try to clean it. So then by these things, if the fact of the matter is you are shaking it with all your might and you're shaking it until all the dust gets off, you are going to be either Mechal Shabbos, regardless if it's white or if it's are old. And we're going to see in Shulchan Aruch that this is spoken, this is actually, it's interesting, it's a sort of contradiction in Mishnah Berurah. He brings, in one Mishnah Berurah he brings one pshat, another Mishnah Berurah he brings another pshat. But l'halacha we actually hold it's aser. The case is given as follows, that where if it gets drenched, we pass it like Taisus, we don't say like Rashi. So we say like Taisus is talking about dew fell on it. And there we make all these distinctions between black and white and so on and so forth. But it says if it got very wet from rain, then everybody is makvid, and then it's aser. Right, even if it's old and even if it's white. So in other words, once we reach the point where we know everybody is makbid, so then the halacha is, it's aser no matter what. So you see, makbid is the underlying qualification over here. If you're a makbid, it's going to be aser no matter what. Just typically, by a little do, most people are not makbid if it's white and if it's old. But if we have a situation where we know you're makbid, either that happens to be the case, or the case the Shulchan Aruch gives when it gets very wet, different situations where you attack a makbid, as long as we have the makbid aspect, makbid is going to be the real qualification here. Makbid is going to decide if you're a Mechal Shabbos. Why? That's what Shmuel explains, because when you're makbid, you do a real strong job. So it's a psik ratio that you're doing malach. So that's a whole new twist on this Gemara. Not the way you would typically learn the Gemara. Typically, you would learn the Gemara probably like the Ritva. You'd say makbid is just whether we consider it dirty, right? And it's not actually denoting a different way of doing it. It's just a description of the situation. It's not so dirty because by the fact that virtue that you're not makbid, do we see it's not so dirty? No, Rashi says that's not. We don't care about that. We care about how you're trying to clean it. Are you doing a very strong cleaning job? Then it's that's malavin. If you're not doing such a strong cleaning job, then it's not a psikration, and then it's mutter, right? Let's take it to our hats, right? Which one Mishnah Berurah talks about, our hats and our dust. Now, our hats, right? If it's new, it's new, fine. But let's say after the first month or two, and your hat is not new anymore, right? And it is black, but it's old, right? But you are makbid on your hat, right? If your hat gets dusty, I mean, until it gets to that point of no return, you know, and you can't even tell the difference anymore. But before it reached that point, you know, when if your hat is dusty, you're makbid, and you would brush it off. So if you put your hat down on the top of a bookcase in Shabbos, you take it off, and sure enough, you know, it has that ring. So you want to dust it off, because you're makbid, that looks horrible. So that would be awesome, because that's something that everybody's makbid on. Once it's something that's makbid, we don't kill it, it's an old hat, right? It doesn't make a difference. You're a makbid, and if you're a makbid, it's going to be usher. If we pass in like Rashi, that dust is a problem, right? So in Shulchan Aruch, I'm going to bring my Shulchan Aruch with me. In Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber does not pass in like Rashi. Mechaber just brings down Taisus, that it's only a problem with water. The Ramah does bring down Rashi. And then the Mishnah Berurah goes back and forth about old versus new, and like I said, and then he says, you should not do it. He says you should not clean your hat if it gets dusty, even if it's old, because you're makbid. And therefore he says, be careful on Shabbos where you put down your hat. Make sure it doesn't fall to the floor. He says, Mishnah Berurah, make sure it doesn't fall to the floor. Make sure the place you put it down is doesn't get dusty, because that there's actually, there is a halacha in Hilchos Shabbos, that you have to be careful that your clothing, big day Shabbos, don't get dirty on Shabbos. It's a halacha of Kavod Shabbos. You're not allowed to take a baby on your shoulder on Shabbos without putting, what are those? A diaper. They're called diapers, right? Put a diaper on first. It's a halacha in Hilchos Shabbos. Halacha. It's Kavod Shabbos. You have to make sure your clothing stay clean. So likewise, this is a halacha that you have to be careful with your clothing, and you know, besides that, to protect yourself from being Iver and Isser, of cleaning on Shabbos, it's a halacha of Kavod Shabbos. Your clothing have to stay clean, they have to stay covered. Okay, so what do we have over here? We have a Gemara over here. We've just clarified the kuppet part of the Gemara. What's going on over here, right? Then we clarified that the two ways to learn over here is either we're just describing how dirty the beged is, or we're describing how hard you're trying to clean it. That's the two ways to learn, which are both brought down la halacha. And now, well, let's go and try to figure out this disagreement between Rashi and Taisus about whether it's dirt or there's water also. So Rashi said you're shaking it out from dirt. Taisus says, I don't agree, you can't clean a beged without water, that's not malabin, it has to be talking about this water. Taisus says, what's my proof that I'm right? Because then there's another story the Gemara has over here. The Gemara has another story of Rav Yosef that had a hat that had tal on it. So he says, you see, in that story we're talking about water, it says he had this kumsai, which is a hat, chazadika talala, there was tal. And he said you could shake it out if you're not makbid. You see, we're talking about the water. Now, the Bialacha points out that if you look at... I'm sorry?
But that's not the next story. It's too serious.
Right. Just because it's... I know. It doesn't seem to be so... such a strong raya, but apparently Tysus used it as an indication that he was right. I'm not sure. I hear your point. I don't know why it's such a proof. But Tysus does match. Say that. Now, the Bialacha quotes Rabbeinu Chanava, which is printed on the side over here, which didn't always used to be printed on the side of the Gemara. It was a relatively new innovation in the time of the Chafetz Chaim. And he says that the Rabbeinu Chananel translates Tala differently than Tysus. He translates Tala not to mean Tal Du. He says it's Tinuf, dirt. If you want to find it, look at Tysus Dibra Maskel Af on the Gemara and look directly across from that Tysus Dibra Maskel Af. It says in the Rabbeinu Chananel, V'yesh Oimrim Kumsahu Kagoin Kan Doimel Gavia, it's explaining what it looked like. Tinuf. There was some tinuf on it. So in any case, Rabbeinu Chananel teaches the word tala to mean tinuf, to mean dirt. So he says that's great. So that's the way Rashi learned also. Rashi learned tala wasn't do, it was dirt. So both Gemaras shtim. If you Rashi, you're shaking out your talus from dirt, you're cleaning off the hat from dirt, chai v'chatas, taisis, they're both talking about from water, because taisis holds you can't be over malabim without water. Now, there's two other Gemaras, and both of them have to be thrown into the mix before we can figure out what exactly Rashi holds and what exactly Tysus holds. So Gemara number one that precedes this is Daf Kuf Mem Al Hamid Al. This Gemara says as follows. Amar Rav Kahana, it's only on the bottom of the Gemara. Gemara says, Amar Rav Kahana, Tit Sha'al Gabi Bigdai, if you have some tit on your clothing, you could be Mechaska Sa'imi Bifnim, Ve Mechaska Sa'imi Bichot. So you have mud got on your jacket. So you're able to do some form of cleaning from the other side, right? So the mud is over here on your jacket, so you can go like this to it, flick it from the other side, but you can't rub it from the side that the dirt is actually on. You can't rub the side that the dirt is on, you can rub the other side. I don't know exactly how that works. Somehow or another, by rubbing the other side, you'll get some dirt off. That you could do. Now, that's what Gemara says. That actually remains. The Gemara also brings a brisa, meisve, tit shal gabi minole migare be gav sakin. If you got tit on your shoes, you can scrape it off with a knife. Vishal bigdai migare be tzipirin. When it's on your clothing, you can scrape it off with your finger. You can scrape the mud off with your fingernail actually. As long as you don't rub, and the Gemara explains that means rub it from the side that the dirt is on. So what we end up in this Gemara is like this. You have got some mud on your clothing, no problem. Take a knife, take your fingernail, scrape it off. That's for sure, mutter. And if you want to rub it, you can only rub it from this side, not the side that the dirt is on. But your fingernail or a knife, no problem, you can scrape it off. So here, l'chayr, we have a Gemara Mufareshes, not like Rashi. Rashi said, you're not allowed to shake off dust from your talus. You're not allowed to take off the dirt from your hat. Right? That's the way he learned the Gemara with the hat, like Rabbeinu Chananel. The dirt on the hat, not allowed to take off the dirt from your hat. And over here it says, you could scrape off mud from your clothing with your fingernail. So what does Rashi over here explain? Rashi over here explains, which Rabbi Kiva Eger in Gilead Nashash points out, that he contradicts himself. The bottom two lines of Rashi says, a mulabin mamish loy havi, dehein nois in shamayim. It's not a real mulabin, because you're not using water. So here, Rashi went over to the other team. And he's saying, like Tysus, that you can only do mulabin with water. Right? But it's not just Rashi, it's the Gemara. Right? The Gemara is clear that there's no malabin over here when you're scraping off the dirt because there's no water. So the question is, what's the difference between these two Gemaras? And we'll leave that as a question. You could use your imagination to think, or, you know, svara, what sort of chilek could be made between two Gemaras? What's the difference between shaking out your talus from dirt, shaking off your hat from dirt, and scraping off mud from your clothing with your fingernail? And that is mutter. This is one Gemara. Now, in contradiction to both these things, is a Gemara one page earlier on Daf Kuf Mem Amud Aleph. The Gemara over here on the bottom talks about taking a piece of a shirt made out of linen that's been washed, and apparently the way they used to wash linen, it got very stiff and dull, and you needed to rub it in order to make it white and shiny. So Gemara says a shirt you're allowed to, but a sudr, which is some sort of a head covering like a kerchief, you're not allowed to take that kerchief and rub it together and make it shiny. Why? So it's the bottom line of the Gemara. Amalei hasam mechziki eludi chuvra. It's like you're making it white. It's like libun. V'hachalei mechziki eludi chuvra. Here by a shirt, it's not as obvious. And Rashi explains, bottom Rashi, hasam mechziki eludi chuvra shemakbid alibunoi. You're makbid that it should get white. with say haroy shel sudra, and the shininess of this head covering, yoisim mikasnisa, more than a typical shirt. So therefore, it's a problem. So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says you can't take a kerchief which has been washed and is dull, and then the final thing you do in order to finish the washing process is to rub it together, and then it gets white. And that's aser. So what do we see? We see that you don't need any water to be a remelavin, at least midrabanan. But in any case, be over the iser, you don't need any water. You can be over the iser with just rubbing it together and making it white. Right? You don't need to do anything special. You don't need water. So the fact is, I don't know if it's the rice or not, but it's certainly aser. Right, it's certainly usher to rub together something, and that makes it whiter, makes it cleaner. So if so, why would Tysus disagree with Rashi and Tysus say you can't shake out, you're allowed to, I'm sorry, Tysus disagrees with Rashi, it's dust, no problem, shake out your talus from dust, that's mutter. It's only usher. Seems like Tysus says it's mutter. Seems like, in Shulchan Aruch certainly it seems like that. That the Shulchan Aruch doesn't hold, it's mutter to shake out your talus from dust, that's permitted, and this is usher. I mean, if the whole reason Titus disagrees, he says because Liban needs water. There's no water over here, and it's still aser. So what's the difference? These are the three Gemaras we have to have. This Gemara here and Daf Kof Mem about rubbing the linen together shows us that even without water, you could have. The Gemara Kof Mem Aleph, if anything, shows us the opposite. Shows us that you're allowed to scrape off the dust, the dirt from your clothing with your fingernail. You see that when there's no water, it's okay. And lastly, we have the Gemara on Kuf Mevav. With here, it's a Machlokes Rashi and Tysus. Rashi says you can't, Tysus says you could. So we have to resolve these three, Bez Hashem, next week. See ya.